welcome you all this morning then into the service. And it's not a bad morning. It's good to that the rain's not pouring down, hitting us in the face. But maybe if your Bible's with you this morning, we'll have a look at Jonah in the first chapter. And maybe we'll read the verse number 6. So it's Jonah chapter 1, verse 6. And Jonah's near the end of the Old Testament. And I'll start to read. If you haven't found it, don't be panicking, we'll be staying on it. So in Jonah chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." We'll just have a quick word of prayer here this morning before we go any further. Lord, we just come into your presence now, and though we be outside or at this open air meeting, your word says that where two or three are gathered in your midst, there you are in the midst. We know that you're here this morning. We pray that you'd bless us, bless this word. Help me, Lord, to bring something to encourage your people. And Lord, if there's one that's not saved here this morning, that they may know the power of salvation in their lives through their only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray now, and then through your precious name, Lord Jesus, I ask it. Amen. Amen. So here this morning, you know, I preached on this before. It's maybe been a few years ago. But this is the story of Jonah, and most of us know it. We've probably heard it from we've heard it in Sunday schools. Anybody in the world, in what you would call a Christian world, would know the story of Jonah and the whale. Many people try to, you know, to say, well, when you start to tell them about that, maybe the first thought is, well, that's impossible, a whale couldn't swallow a man. But when you read and study the Word of God, you know what the Word of God says? It says that God prepared, especially prepared fish. And that makes a difference. When God puts his hand to something, you know, it leaves our understanding and our comprehension. And it's not no longer defined by the laws of physics. It's no longer defined by laws that we have in this earth. You know, because there's laws in this earth that apply to us. The law of gravity. You go out of this earth. Once man leaves this earth, you think of anybody this morning that's orbiting the earth on that space station. They're no longer under our law of gravity. There's no such thing. It's a different law. You know, but we have laws and all here this morning in this book, full of laws, but it's also full of grace. And it's by grace are you saved through faith. You know, I mean, we'll start here, and I just want to speak about Jonah. You know, Jonah, when you're preaching about Jonah, you can represent a Christian, and you can preach to a Christian, but at the same time, you can preach to the lost. And here's Jonah, chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me." Now, before I go any further, here is Jonah, the son of Amittai. You know what, in your Bible, maybe if you have a Bible that has a margin in it, what is this? The name of his father means, his father's name means truthful. So Jonah is the son of truth. Men and women here this morning, if you're a Christian, you're the son of truth this morning. You're a son of daughter of God this morning. But here he is, and what else about Jonah? What can I tell you about Jonah this morning? Jonah is a prophet. How do I know Jonah's a prophet? Because the word of God says in 2 Kings chapter 14 and 25, it records Jonah's prophecy. It says, "He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath onto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher." So there's one account in the Old Testament that shows you where he's a prophet. But also, you know, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39, when Jesus has been questioned and they've asked him for a sign, and he says, "There'll be no sign given you except that of the prophet Jonas." That was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. You know, Jesus went for all me. He went for you. He died on that cross. And he went 3 days and three nights into hell. And what did he do? He led captivity captive. And he broke the chains asunder. He took the keys off Satan, off the devil. And you know, he's in possession of them keys this morning. He's the one that has power from to change you from death unto life this morning. But here's Jonah, a prophet. And, you know, many times we wake up in the morning, excuse me, and we think, maybe you've had a bad day the day before. And if you're like me, some days you wake up, you mightn't feel too Christian. You mightn't feel, oh, like I'm the best Christian in the world. Maybe you see somebody else and what they do for the Lord and you think, if only I could do what they could do. If only I could be like them. But here's a prophet of God. And you know, if you read this story, you know, it's maybe you're thinking, well, God spoke to a prophet. I'm not a prophet this morning. But God has spoke to a prophet, and what did he do? And all, he sort of ignored it. He tried to run away from it. He tried to get from it. And instead of, in verse 2, what did he say? The Lord says to him, arise, go to Nineveh. And now we could speak about Nineveh this morning. What was it? It was the city of the Assyrians. One of the largest cities of the time in the world. You can read and research online or in books, encyclopedias, and you'll find that Nineveh was one of the largest cities of its day. But it was a Gentile city. So here in the Old Testament, what is God doing? He's reaching out to the Gentiles. You know, God has reached out to the Gentiles again. And by grace, this morning, God's still reaching to the Gentiles. But you know, one day, when he's finished with them, he'll turn back to the Jew. So that's why it's vitally important this morning that when you get a chance and God is moving on us as a Gentile people, that you take heed and you listen and you act upon what you hear. Excuse me a minute. My throat's giving problems. But God, here is Nineveh. And later on you can read through this story. I just paraphrase it. And Nineveh is such a great city. It says of 3 days' journey. Now in the Bible, if I'm right, a day's journey is around 24 miles. So you can imagine that over 70, is it 72 miles that you could spend walking around this city? That's the size of Nineveh. And I reckon there was probably 120,000 people in it at this stage. And here, God's speaking to Jonah and he's saying, go on to that city. And Jonah is maybe thinking, why would God ask me, a Jew, a Hebrew, to go down into Nineveh and preach to a Gentile people? A people that's our enemies. A people that 130 years later from here would come and destroy parts of Jerusalem and fight. Until, you know what happens? Who comes from this line? Is it, Nineveh is really in modern day Iraq. And if you've, over the past few years, when you hear about ISIS and you hear about the city of Mosul, that's where Nineveh was. And from this time, right on down, you know, there's been wars. It eventually comes down to Nebuchadnezzar, and where he carries away the children of Egypt or Israel away captive. And he does that. And Jonah's maybe thinking to himself, what is God doing here? He's asking me to do this. But, you know, it's not our ways. It's not up for us to decide what God would do. Because God, in his wisdom and his mercy, knows better than me and you. God, we might think, why would God send a man down into Nineveh to try and deliver such a great number of people? And maybe Jonah was afraid. Maybe he thought to himself, I'm a Hebrew. I'm not of this people. I'm completely different from them. And God's asking me to go down into Nineveh to try to preach to a people that's my enemy. And he might be thinking they'll kill me. Maybe they'll beat me, they'll do hurt to me. And maybe he can't understand in his head and his own reasoning what God would do. Why would God do that? But you know, God's ways are higher than our ways. And God had a plan. But of course Jonah decided he knew better, and off he went. And he headed on a ship to Tarsus. And it says in your Bible, it says, and he paid the further off. And men and women's paying a fare this morning. And you know what? If you pay a fare, you're paying a wage to somebody. But this morning, you know what the biggest problem is? Men and women is paying the wages of death. Some men and women that know not the Lord as their own personal Savior, there it says there's wages for sin, and the end thereof is death. There's wages been paid this morning, people not knowing it. But without Christ, you're without life, you're without salvation, you're without a future. Because eternal life is the gift of God. There's no eternal life outside of salvation. But here he was, he went and he paid this fare, and he got in this boat, and that boat started heading away. And at that stage, I believe Tarshish was one of the farthest points away where you could get on a boat and you could head at that time, and not part of the known world. And he's thinking, I'll get as far away from this people. Maybe somebody else can do that. God can ask somebody else to do that. And he not ask me. I'm away out of the way. But you know, God had different plans. Because once he got on that boat, it says in verse 4, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. You know, that was a rough sea. Some people's on a rough sea of circumstances this morning. Maybe they're going through something in their life. And they're wondering, why is this happening to me? Why is it happening in our family? What's happening in my life? Why are we going through this tempest? And sometimes you just can't explain it. Why is it happening? I don't know. But I know one thing, that if we put our trust in the Lord, he's able to bring us through it. And here, Jonah, you could say, was away from God. And he was in this ship, and here was this mighty tempest. And the ones that were on the ship were afraid that the ship was going to be wrecked. And it says in verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. So these men had some sort of religion. They had a religion. They were religious people. You know, this country's full of religious people. This, you know, there's probably hardly a few any other country maybe that's any more religious than what we'd call Ireland, North and South. You know, people here for years, there's been atrocities committed in the name of religion between different sides. And people are religious, but you know, being religious is completely different from salvation in the Lord. There's a difference in religion and Christianity, because a true Christian, what's it say? It says, love thy neighbour as thyself. You know, sometimes religion doesn't bring you to love somebody, maybe it brings you to hate somebody. So it's not religion. But these men had a religion, and they cried unto their God. And you know, you could maybe point the finger at Jonah and say, that's man sleeping, but at least these men are religious and they're praying. Whereas Jonah, he hasn't prayed at this stage. A man, you might say this man was in a backslidden state. He's some Christian. All this is happening, and I haven't heard that man praying once. But here's the mariners of the ship, and they come to Jonah, and he was fast asleep. Some people's fast asleep spiritually. You know, in this day and age, they see what's going on around them. If you can't see some of the circumstances that's around us this morning, in laws that have been passed, where homosexuals can marry, where children can be aborted and murdered in our own land, where a child can be up to, 24 weeks, its life can be wiped out. You know, and people's fast asleep, and they take that as normal, and they think, well, that's their right. It's a woman's right. It's their right. They love each other. It's their right. But God doesn't look at it like that. God looks at it by his word. And this word judges. It's not up to me to judge you. It's not up to our pastor or any of here to judge each other. This word is the judge. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And here's Jonah sleeping. A Christian, a prophet, and he's fast asleep to what's going on around him. You know, my prayer is that the Lord would waken each and every one of us up, so that we would know what's going on around us this morning. So that we would know the circumstances. You know, we hear even at this time we hear so much stuff in our world this morning. How are we all locked down? Why are we meeting here this morning? Because they say there's a COVID-19. That's why you're here this morning. And people have different ideas on it, and people have sermons about some maybe being a mark of the beast. But you know, if it's a mark of the beast, we shouldn't be here. Why? Because the bride goes before that mark comes in. If you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, you will be gone. The bride will be gone out of here before this mark comes in. But here's the thing this morning. What? It's an eye-opener. It shows you, maybe a year or 2 years ago, and you'd have said, well, you'd have read in Revelations how no man could buy or sell, save they had that mark. If you'd have read that, and you'd have said to yourself, how could they do that? How could they make it? Surely there's bound to be protests. There's bound to be the Christian church world is bound to kick up. There's bound to be something where they would say, no, we know what you're doing. And you're going to bring in the mark of the beast. But you know what happened? Overnight, our country closed down. Overnight, you were no longer allowed to meet somebody out of your household. Overnight, if your job wasn't essential, you had to stay at home and work from home. Overnight, you had to put a mask on before you went into a shop. You were only allowed to buy maybe 3 items of the same thing. You couldn't buy any more than that. Overnight, these things happened. And you know what? It's just, what is it over a year later now? It's just the norm. But it shows you in the future what can happen. Well, it tells me that overnight they'll be able to close her if they want to. But glory to God, I believe I'll not be here. I believe I'll be in glory. There's one that has went on from our fellowship, and that wee song that we sang there, that hymn, that last hymn, where they're on the streets of gold. You know, my father, our brother Billy, our brother Sammy, has all went on ahead. But where are they this morning? They're in that city, whose builder and whose foundations are in God. On the streets of gold, where the river runs as clear as glass. They're there this morning. You know, we'll be there too someday. But here's Jonah fast asleep. And what does the shipmaster say to him? He says, the shipmaster came to him. And he says, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Is it not a rebuke this morning to many Christians? What meanest thou, O sleeper? What are you doing? Can you not discern the signs and the times? Can you not discern what's going on around us this morning? What meanest thou, O sleeper? Can you not see that the peril that we're in? Can you not see the peril that your neighbour's in? Can you not see the peril that men and women's in that don't know the Lord as their own and personal Saviour? What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. Arise, get up, waken out of your sleep. You know, to the unsaved this morning, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Do you not know that you're on your road to hell? You know, there's no polite way to put it. The footsteps of the righteous are led by the Lord. But where's them footsteps of a man or a woman leading them that know not the Lord as their Saviour? They're on that broad path that leadeth to destruction. You know, what meanest thou, O sleeper? If you can't see, you don't have to be religious to see some of the stuff that's going on. You don't have to be religious to realize that the same things happening today that happened in the days of Noah. You don't have to be religious to see the evil that's in the world. You know, when you see all these in our own communities, you know, in Rainbow Bridge there, the amount of drugs is unreal in Rainbow Bridge. People mightn't realize that. But young men, young women, they're dying with taking drugs. What about the suicide rate? The amount of young men and young women, there's no hope, they have no hope. All these things are happening. But they're in a sleep, some kind of a sleep has come over them. Excuse me. But it says, arise, call upon thy God. And when the Christian finally gives himself a shake, and I'm speaking to myself this morning to you, maybe I need to give myself a shake and say, Lord, I've been sleeping, help me. You know, you have your way. I'm putting my trust in you. You take control. I believe God will move. Because once Jonah finally got up, he realized here. He knew what was wrong. He was a prophet. He knew that he was the cause. He knew that he was on a ship to Tarshish, but he should have been on a ship to Nineveh. Excuse me. My throat's still bad from a You know, keep me in your prayers, because see, from I've had that COVID, I take a fit of coughing every now and then, and even when I'm starting to preach or if I'm speaking loud like this, my throat goes. And I, you know, it's only the enemy, but keep me in your prayers this morning. And you know, some people think it's not real, but if you've had it for a week or two, you'll realize it is real. It's not the flu. You know, there's been people that have been seriously ill and have died of it, and people that are still not recovered of it. But just, we need to commend ourselves to the Lord daily, that he keep his hand upon us. I've sort of lost my place now, but it says, arise, call upon thy God. You know, what about the unsaved? If I said to the unsaved this morning, arise and call upon thy God. What does the word of God say? It says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the calling upon the Lord you need this morning. That's the only thing you need to do. Call upon the Lord and thou shalt be saved. In chapter 10 and verse 13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's word this morning. That's the difference from life and death. You know, it's not a complicated religion. It's not something that you have to work to, you have to obtain to. You know, I watched the thing there one night. I didn't mean to watch it, but I was actually about to go to bed when there was a thing came on about the Sikh community in Northern Ireland. I was interested and I watched it. And you know, at times when you listen to it, you would say them people's not far from the truth. They believe in one God. You know, they don't believe in three gods, the Trinity of gods. They believe in one God. And everything maybe sounds good about, you know, their good works, they do good works and all that. And that all sounds good. But then it comes to the part, what happens when they die? You know, and then it's all a works program. Right then, that's when the works program is how good a life they've lived. Have they done so many good works? Have they attained, you know, going to be in the presence of God? And if they haven't done just enough, what happens? They're reincarnated. And if they've done maybe okay, they might come back as an animal. And if they've done really good, they're nearly there, they'll come back as another human being. But what does our Bible say? It says, absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's the hope of the Christian this morning. You know, we're not going to be reincarnated. We're going to get a new body, a glorified body this morning. But it says, call upon thy God. So, I'm watching the time here. Jonah, here he was. What did he do? He says to these shipmen, he says, I'm the reason. I'm the cause of this storm. And he says, only way to get rid of this storm is to cast me overboard. And the men begged and said, no, we can't do that. And he convinced them, when they told him the story, and he convinced them, they agreed to it reluctantly. And what did they do? They begged and they prayed to the Lord and they said, hold not this innocent blood to our charge. Don't hold this to our charge, Lord. And they threw him over the side. And as soon as they threw him over the side, there was a great calm come. And you know, what had happened there? God had prepared a fish, a mighty whale. Now, we know maybe that a normal whale, one man couldn't fit down its throat. But you maybe think the size of a big blue whale. It's massive. You know, if you just took that outer shell, there's plenty of room inside it. You know, all God would have had to do, he just had to make a few renovations maybe. And there that whale was capable. And it was able to sustain him, sustain his oxygen. And here was Jonah in the whale's belly. and he was 3 days and three nights in that whale's belly. And what intelligence told that whale to change course from Tarshish, to change course and head straight for Nineveh, to that city? You know, it was God behind it all. And here's that whale went. And where did it... You know, when Jonah was in that whale, we've heard the story before, where people say, maybe you've had circumstances, but Jonah had circumstances. Everywhere he looked around him, there was whale's belly. And there was seaweed and there was stink. But God was in control. But what did Jonah do? Jonah prayed to the Lord. And I believe maybe Jonah got down and he didn't know what direction he was praying. Maybe he got down and he faced to the left and he prayed. Maybe he faced to the right and he prayed. And why would he do that? Because you know in Solomon's temple when he dedicated it, in 1 Kings, I believe it's chapter 8, he says, if any man or woman, when trouble comes, if they would pray towards this holy temple, hear thou from heaven, Lord, and deliver them. And the Lord said that he would, and he would, if they committed sins, he would forgive them. And God heard his prayer. And where did that whale bring him up? It brought him up right on that coast, on that beach out at Nineveh, at that land. And you might say, oh, that's only a coincidence, but it wasn't. It was an inspired God's plan of salvation to that nation. And, you know, just last night, I was looking up, and I said to myself, I'll just Google Jonah in Nineveh. Because I was thinking to myself, what God did they worship in Nineveh? And I heard before that somebody said that they worshipped the fish god, and others had said that worshipped Ishtar and all. I looked up, and one of the things came up was, I just printed it out to read it myself last night. You can look this up yourself. It's Jonah in Nineveh, and was published in 1892 by H. Clay Turnbull, and it was in a journal of biblical literature. And he talks about the god that they worshipped in Babylon and Assyria at this time. One of the main gods that they worshipped was Dagon. Now Dagon was a fish god. And this city, he was one of the most revered gods to this city. And not only that, he took a form. Some of them said he was half fish, half man. Others said he was more like a fish with head of a man and feet like a man. But here is one of their main gods. And in the past they had said that this being had come out of the water, and he had taught them how to live, how to make stuff. And all of the modern technology and all of the knowledge they had, he'd give it to them. And every now and then he would appear. But here is Jonah, and this whale spits him out on the beach to this people. And what is he? He's just a physical incarnation of their god, Dagon. And now you might think, well, was there something behind? What sort of wisdom was behind that? Here's God had a plan for this people. And if you looked at it and you'd seen Jonah, he went right the opposite way. But you know, the whole time God knew he was for running. He knew he was to run, he would run that way. He knew he'd prepare that fish. And he knew that once that fish spat him out on that ground, and they saw what they thought was a living incarnation of their greatest gods, and he comes out and he starts to preach repentance unto them, what would they do? They repented. And not just one or two of them, the whole city repented. Even the king repented and put sackcloth and ashes on him. And the whole city repented. Why? Because God in his glory knew what he was doing. You know, we don't know sometimes what we're doing. We maybe think, why would God do it that way? We can't answer that. Why did God bring the children of Israel out of Israel the way he did? Why when them million or 2 million people that was Hebrew children in Israel and Egypt, when Moses brought them out, why did he bring them down to the Red Sea? You would say, God's made a mistake. He's brought them out. And they've come down here, and here's an army coming, pursuing them, and they'll kill every one of them. And then maybe the people cried there and said, why have you brought us out here today? But God knew what he was doing. Because when he got down there, what did he do? He told Moses, stretch forth your rod. And he stretched it forth, and the waters parted hither and thither. And they walked across on dry land. And he says, you look today, and this army and this king that you see pursuing you, you'll see no longer. And when they walked through on dry land, and that army come pursuing them, when the last Hebrew children got out, God just closed that sea over, and that was the end of the Egyptians. Now, we couldn't have planned that. You might have said, when you had seen them circumstances and you'd been not sure, maybe you'd have heard the chariot's noise coming, you would have said, what are we going to do? But God had a plan. And here's God had this plan. And you know, the people of Nineveh repented. Sinner, this morning, you need to repent. Repentance, the Bible speaks about repentance. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, it says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Repentance worketh a work to salvation this morning. For the sinner this morning, you know, that's one thing that Jonah done when he was in that whale's belly, he repented. And God heard him. And God's plan come to pass. It didn't matter what Jonah had thought he would do. God had a plan, and you know that plan came to pass. And but you know, when I was reading this too, it was just when I got into chapter 3, it tells you when he preaches to them, he says within 40 days, if you don't repent, the city will be destroyed. And you know, Jonah has seen everything that God has done. He's seen what God can do for the people. He's seen how maybe once he started, how God is starting, and once that first person repented and changed, turned from their evil and their wickedness. And then the next thing, maybe like a wave, it's went through the city. But Jonah, maybe sometimes, he's maybe like some of us, when they see a work, they'll still not believe it, or they mightn't be happy. And I thought to myself, I marveled, you know, in chapter 4, and I read it, and I'd never really noticed it before, even though I've read it many times, and it says in chapter 4 and verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, and here's it, till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah sat there, you know, after all that God had done, to see what would become of that city. You know, maybe there's a bit of stubbornness in him. Maybe there's a bit of stubbornness in each of us. But I pray that we wouldn't just sit about. Maybe he was sitting to see would God destroy it. But God, he couldn't change his word. He said if they repented, he would save them, he'd spare them. And you know what? God did spare them. God spared me and he spared you this morning. If you call upon the name of the Lord, he'll spare you. You know, sinner this morning, as these words of this ship mariner, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Call upon thy God and see will he deliver you. And you know, he will deliver you. You know, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, what is the greatest, one of the greatest verses in the Bible? John chapter 3 verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Should not perish. So, if you call upon the Lord, you shall not perish. You pass from death unto life. You know, that's the greatest victory this morning. That's the greatest thing this morning. It doesn't matter what riches you have here, what car you drive, what house you live in. It means nothing. Because if you haven't Christ, you have nothing. Let's just come to have a word of prayer and we'll finish then on that. Lord, this morning I just thank you for helping me. I pray that these words that I've sowed this morning, it's your words, Lord. It's your scriptures that I've read. And I pray that while my voice is silent, that you continue to speak to your people. If we need encouragement this morning, give it, Lord. If there's somebody sitting here or hears this that knows you not as their own and personal Saviour, convict them by thy Holy Spirit and show them their need of salvation and save them. May they call upon you and be saved. Lord, bless the singing as we would close. And bless your people and provide every need here this morning. For it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Amen. Is Brother Tommy coming?
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless our brother Mark, and I certainly appreciate it. The word of God this morning is so true. And you know, when I was listening to brother this morning, I have a wee In the Bible I have, there's some wee different notes and quotations in it. And you know what it says? It says the greatest misery for any man is to be without God. That's the greatest misery for any man. And I'll tell you, that's true. That's the greatest misery for any man, is to be without God. When you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have hope. And Romans tells us, hope maketh not ashamed. Praise God for that. The Lord bless your brother Mark, and I'll tell you, when he's preaching about Jonah as well, you know, it's amazing to me what God done more with Jonah when he got him onto the right path, onto the right place. He done more with Jonah in an hour than he done with many as a boy in a lifetime. And I tell you, know what it tells me? We need to be in God's will. We need to be in the centre of God's will. People can say, I want to do something for God, and that's wonderful. But you need to be in the will of God. You can do God a service without it being the will of God. And you need to be in God's will. Whatever you're wanting to do for God, make sure it's God's will. And there's one thing that a brother said, so true. When you're preaching the gospel, you're in God's will. You're in God's will preaching the gospel. And I'm going to, Brother Mark Gary's going to come, and Brother Gary's going to be preaching next Sunday morning here, the different brothers as normal. And I just want to say, God bless our Brother Mark and each one that's come. The Lord bless you. And we just really appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to bow our heads this morning. I don't want to get distracted here. I want us to bow our heads. I'm going to pray for Brother Mark, for his throat with the effects of COVID. There's other people that's had COVID. There's two Pacific people that come on Facebook, and they contacted myself, and I prayed for them. One man was very ill. He was actually on a support machine, breathing apparatus, and God healed him. Not only did God heal him, but his wife rang me, and I asked her, how is he? And she said, he's out fixing the Jeep outside. God has completely healed him. And she then took it, and the Lord healed her as well. There's many other people that took it. The man that married William Branham's daughter, George Smith, took COVID about a week ago, and they rushed him to hospital and he's very ill, but everybody started to pray for him. And they tested him and everything was clear, and he's home and he's well. The Lord can heal COVID. You're from COVID, just like he can heal from anything. And I want to pray, and if you need a touch in your car this morning, I want you to believe God. You can lift your hand as a point of response to God. And be sincere and believe God will touch you. And also, Brother Matthew at home needs a touch from the Lord as well. Matthew McDowell and maybe others, that the Lord will touch. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank you that your ear is open till our cry. Lord, Jonah said, once more will I look to thy holy prophets, Lord. And he knew, Lord, as our brother said, if he would turn to that place that you had promised, that you would hear from heaven. And Father, we look to you afresh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you promised that, Lord, you are our high priest that's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. We look to you, Lord, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch our brother Mark. We rebuke every effect of COVID in the name of Jesus Christ. Rid everyone from it that's here this morning in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we know you're a deliverer. Father, deliver your people as you've done before in the name of Jesus Christ. For every one of these vehicles, bless them and touch them and minister unto them in Jesus' precious name. I pray for every brother that will stand behind this pulpit, that the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon them mightily, and that people will get saved and healed by the power of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now bless each one. Bless your brother Mark. Strengthen him. Encourage him. And Lord, if there's a backslider in the midst, may they take courage that as soon as they call on you, that you'll answer them and restore them. In the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. I want to say to Sister Carl for doing her wee magazine. We appreciate our Sister Carl doing it. And if you didn't get a magazine, see one of the deacons. They'll give you a wee magazine. It's a monthly magazine. Also, there's a little thing. She's did a tribute to my dad. She's doing, if anyone wants to write anything, give it to her Sister Carl as well. And the Lord bless each one. God bless you. Don't forget this evening, 4:30, live Facebook church app. Now, the church app has changed a bit. It'll come up as Facebook when you go in, but go on it. It's not Facebook. They're just linking to it. I don't know how all it works myself. There's a fella that does it in Dublin, works it all for me, and Brother Matthew. But it will work if you go on there. Stay tuned in. I believe we need to continually feed on the Word of God. God bless you.
Sing a chorus as we leave. I won't pray again. Tommy's already prayed, and we'll just sing a chorus or two as we go. So the Lord bless as you make your way home, and don't forget it again. I'll go this evening.